Ladies and gentlemen, Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate here with Liberty Laura. Liberty, nice to see you. Hey everybody, welcome to our live stream. And we got things going operating low tech for now as we transition from the campaign to the new institutions that we are setting up to help spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. Nice to see you all. We want to wait for everybody to start filing in as the viewers start to file in, 72 people. Nice to see you guys. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the stream today. Nice to see you guys. Dyson White, I never answer his messages. Well, when you type in all caps, you kind of scare me there, Dyson.
But, that's the equivalent of yelling.
That's equivalent of screaming at me. Nice to see you, Lewis and Pat Bridge. Hello, Christian. Welcome to the show, guys. We got a lot to talk about and all the time in the world since I'm not running for president right now. So actually, we don't cheers. Have all the time in the world. But yeah, cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
We're having a little bit of coffee today. Lucas Snyder, Tim Fuhrer, good to see you all. Welcome to the show. All right, so we're a minute in. We got 300 people. I guess that's a good enough amount. If you guys can't hear, try turning up the volume on your phones, your mobile devices, or your laptop computers, or try resetting the live stream. Otherwise, today, let's talk about the big news. Nuking Hiroshima, which was an interesting way for us to get into this. Nuking Hiroshima, yes, the big question of whether or not we should have nuked Hiroshima has come up. It came up in the presidential debates. It came up in the question of whether or not the United States should have been involved in World War I or World War II. And it's something that's got people talking because right now we're talking about Governor Johnson's foreign policies as well as his domestic policies. And there's an article in Reason Magazine that I'm going to be reading from to you all today. And we're going to be discussing the instances of whether or not, the nuking of Hiroshima was the right move, and also whether or not libertarians can get any support from conservatives. And of course, people are also, they're saying, Austin, you know, how dare you bring up these topics? How dare you bring up these subjects? You know, you endorse Gary. Yes, I did endorse Gary, but I don't work for Gary. That's actually what I turned down so that I can have my freedom of speech and say what I like. And I'm a commentator, a libertarian pundit, and I get to say and do what I want. That's what I do for a living. As a matter of fact, what I do for a living, guys, is to grow the message of libertarianism, and it's often backbreaking work with not a whole lot of compensation. As a matter of fact, most of the money that I make goes right back to people like Laura, which is something we're going to talk about later in the show, her project. But in the meantime, guys, in order for us to fund our nonprofit ventures, Freedom Fighting, we have a for-profit venture, which is right now it's the Libertarian Republic, and Liberty Laura is taking over libertyviral.com. So if you guys haven't already, do us a favor, please subscribe to the libertarianrepublic.com. That's our for-profit venture that we're going to use, and we're going to talk about the nonprofit ventures later in the show. Before we get to the topic, of course, I do have to plug. So if you guys are looking for a way to be active to help us in our campaign, please register as a member. Go to the libertarianrepublic.com. And there'll be a pop-up that says sign up for a monthly membership. You can pay $5 a month, just $5 a month to help us get these projects on their feet. Or you can pay for an annual subscription that's $55 for a year, and you get libertarianrepublic.com ad-free. So when you're done with the podcast or the live stream that you're watching now, do us a favor. Make your way over to the libertarianrepublic.com and support our for-profit ventures so that we can afford to do our nonprofit ventures. All right, that's it. So time to get to the show. Okay, so we had a big story. This is this where libertarians say goodbye to conservatives? Nick Gillespie writes in Reason Magazine, to right-wingers, Gary Johnson's embrace of, quote, social liberalism negates his pledge to, quote, sign off on any reduction in the federal government. Interesting. So this is something we have to talk about. And Laura, give me your thoughts just in general, what you thought about the article that we read today in Reason Magazine.
So, I guess I come at it from a different perspective. We just ended the campaign. And our campaign...
Lean forward and speak into the camera so they can hear you.
And our campaign strategy was to go for the low-hanging fruit, as Jeff Carson, our campaign manager, called it. And so, I mean, if you're simply talking strategy, the low-hanging fruit before Bernie dropped were the Never Trump supporters.
Right.
And so... it made no sense at the time for anyone to target Bernie supporters because they weren't vulnerable.
Right.
And I guess since Bernie dropped sure Bernie supporters are now...
But he hasn't dropped. He hasn't dropped. He's still fighting, unfortunately.
I thought he dropped.
I mean, well, yesterday, Hillary Clinton announced that she's clinched the nomination, and all the news networks reporting that Hillary has clinched the Democratic nomination, but we haven't seen Bernie drop, for example.
Even then, you can't... When people were accusing you of pandering to conservatives, which, I mean, I guess if you want to say tailoring a message, you could, you know, categorize that as pandering. But even then, you can't leave out a party. And I think that's what Gary Johnson's doing. And he's completely alienating.
He is alienating them,
and
yes.
We, frankly, the Libertarian Party doesn't have the mass to do that. We can't afford to do that.
Right, we can't afford to alienate people. And the funny thing is that if it's... If they're saying we're alienating liberals, right? We're alienating Bernie supporters by supporting discrimination. What in essence you're saying is that it's alienating for us to be libertarians and to defend libertarian principles. Well, too damn bad. Because if freedom gets you a little butthurt in the morning, that's a price. That's a small price to pay for our liberty. And I'm sorry about your hurt feelings. Actually, no, I'm not sorry for your hurt feelings.
Sorry,
you know, government's job is not to make you feel good or create a safe space for you liberals. And yes, I do want to support reaching out to left-wingers and liberals because I think that we have a lot to offer them. We do. We absolutely do. But the truth is that the low-hanging fruit was always with the Never Trump people and with the Never Cruisers. And now we're just now starting to see the Bernie supporters as they're going to jump ship. Will they come on board? But there's been, of course, a development. We now see today, right now on Facebook, where you're watching us, who's trending? Jill Stein from the Green Party. So I'm kind of concerned that we're probably just going to see Jill Stein and the Green Party eat up all of those people that the Johnson campaigners and the social Democrats who have invaded the Libertarian Party, they think that we're going to get. But I don't think there's a good chance we're going to get them. I'm skeptical. What do you say?
So I guess you could say that my generation, even though I hate identity politics, is that... it makes up a large portion of the Bernie supporters, right? The only reason that they're following a lot of them, not all of them, the only reason that they're following Bernie is for socialism, for free college. They're not, you know, they're not active political thinkers or open-minded or, you know, willing to reason. They just like the idea of free things. And
right.
So for no reason, I don't see a large portion of them, you know, it's highly considering changing to the Libertarian Party as conservatives would do otherwise.
Well, we're about to find out, because now that Bernie is effectively, his campaign is effectively over, we're going to see how well this liberal strategy that the Johnson campaign has been playing is going to work out. So we'll see how it goes. But let's talk about these issues here, because it appears not only to be a strategy, not only to just to kind of push conservatives away. And here's the funny thing I wanted to say. I want to read this from my Facebook page verbatim. I'm not a conservative, and I was unfairly accused of being one during my campaign simply because I defend the rights of people that I disagree with, social conservatives. I consider myself socially liberal. What does that mean? That means I'm pretty hardcore, like, party guy. I have fun. You know, I like to you know, get loose with my friends and goof off and be kind of crazy. I'm not a go to church on Sunday morning kind of, like, I'm not the Boy Scout that I appear to be, maybe. That doesn't mean that I'm a bad guy or that I break laws or anything like that. Like, I do break rules, and there's a difference between breaking rules and breaking laws, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But the thing is that when it comes to the strategy of alienating social conservatives, it's a bad strategy, right? So you don't have to alienate social conservatives because we have a lot of positions that they would jive with, that I think they would find copacetic with their belief system. And pretty fantastic, 630 people on these live streams. That's just a hell of a crowd. Thank you so much. But let's talk about this for a moment, because it appears that the strategy is now to push the social conservatives away. Let me read Nick Gillespie. He says, way back in the day, in the early years of the Cold War, libertarians and conservatives formed an unstable but decades-long coalition against actual Soviet-style communism, and they were joined by many liberals. This was, broadly speaking, fusionism, and it allowed political ideologies with different beliefs to coexist, not simply in the pages of the National Review, but also more broadly on the post-war right, post-World War II. As Reagan told Reason in 75, that the very heart and soul of conservatism is libertarianism. Very, very important. The interview conducted shortly after Reagan had left his second term of as governor of California and was gearing up to challenge Ford highlights the tensions that continue between libertarians and conservatives. And one interesting little parallel, of course, in 1976, the Republican Party nominated Gerald Ford over Ronald Reagan, and then 4 years later, they corrected that mistake. Make of that what you will. Fast forward many years after the Reagan presidency, which saw massive centralization of power, the launching of anti-porn headed up by Ed Meese, the end of the Cold War, massive expansion of debt, war, and surveillance under George Bush and the Republican Congress, and the libertarian-conservative relationship is mostly in tatters, and I would tend to agree with that. But instead of, say, choosing a well-spoken young candidate with absolutely no experience in elected office, who is anti-abortion, Austin Peterson, me, and this is who Nick Gillespie is saying, the LP delegates instead chose a pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, pro-pot, pro-immigration Gary Johnson. First of all, I was pro-pot and pro-immigration and pro-gay marriage too, but they don't mention that because, of course, the Beltway establishment has no interest in a, you know, someone who apparently has a mass appeal. Worse still, the LP went along when Johnson, a former two-term Republican governor, was also the 2010, insisted his running mate be William Weld, another liberal Republican two-term governor. And it says, libertarians could appeal to social conservatives, reads the headline to a piece of the Federalist. They just don't want to. True. And when Governors Gary Johnson and William Weld had the temerity to appear on MSNBC shortly after winning the party's backing, which I was not going to do if I'd won, by the way, the Washington Examiner's Tim Carney divined the occult message being sent, quote, the message is clear. We don't need those backward Christian right bozos as much as we need you MSNBCers. What does it mean, I wonder, that Johnson was grilled this weekend by the crew at Fox News Sunday? Good question. And here's the Weekly Standard's Mark Hemingway, who recalled his interview of Johnson back in 2012 when the governor was on his way to bagging a record 1.2 million votes for the LP. Johnson was pro-choice, which is a non-starter for social conservatives. This year, Johnson seems to be doubling down on alienating social conservatives at a time when now more than ever they might be inclined to give the Libertarian Party a shot. Johnson has inexplicably rejected the notion of religious liberty protections, arguing that Christians who object should be forced to bake cakes and the like for a gay wedding. Of course, and it's very interesting because, of course, what's implied in Johnson's push to make gays a protected class is that homosexuals are a protected class, but why are Christians not a protected class? Why are Muslims not a protected class? I mean, what if people want to force Muslims to serve pork? What if they want to force Muslims to serve a gay wedding cake?
Again? Nobody ever thinks about the flip side of all those arguments.
Right.
Nobody ever thinks about, you know, yes, this law allows for a Christian to discriminate against, or whomever, against, you know, a homosexual, but that in turn means that a homosexual can refuse to bake a cake for Westboro Baptist Church.
Right, of course. And the thing is that what Nick is saying here is in essence that it's a good thing that we're forcing these conservatives out, in a sense. I think it's just a big mistake because,
They have money.
Yes, they do have money. Yes, they do, of course. But speaking of, let's take a little break. Of course, if you don't know Liberty Laura, Laura Myers was the volunteer coordinator for the campaign. And we're working very hard not just to set her up with Liberty Viral, but also to grow a nonprofit institution. I'm probably going to be driving to Washington, D.C. next week to set up some nonprofits, most likely a 501c4 and a PAC. And we're going to grow these nonprofit institutions so that we can, one, directly help libertarian candidates, and two, help expand awareness of our platform. The 501c4 most likely is going to help to grow the pro-life libertarian movement and to expand my platform during my presidency so that my ideas are more acceptable in the future. And what it, make of that what you will. But if you want to support our nonprofit ventures right now, if you want to support our nonprofit ventures, we need you to support our for-profit ventures so that we can afford to get around the country and continue operations as we make this transition. So in order for you to help us do that right now, we're selling memberships to thelibertarianrepublic.com. So do us a favor, when you're done with the live stream, or if you can go in another browser now, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com. You'll get a pop-up that'll give you a way for you to purchase a subscription. You can buy one for $5 a month, which is really a simple way to help fund our operations. Or you can pay for the year-long subscription, which is $55 a month, so you save a month. You get a month for free. And that really does help us because we need the operating capital so that we can invest in Laura give her a job, get Liberty Viral on its feet. We need to, a lot of redesign work. We need web developers. We need application developers. And this is very expensive. And obviously, it's I've been out of the loop. So I need to get back into making money so I can reinvest back into Liberty. Anyways, so let's get back to the topic. You know, Nick Gillespie goes on here to sort of to discuss how the Johnson Well ticket is sort of an honorable alternative to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You know, I like Gary, but obviously I didn't support Weld for the reasons that he was pro-Iraq war, pro-Patriot Act, anti-gun, what else? Oh, pro-Obamacare mandate. I mean, everything that we stand against, this guy's for. And so I just hope that they kind of, like, keep him somewhere away.
I think that's such...
Just don't talk, Bill. I'm sure you're a perfectly fine gentleman personally, but just, the policy's just over here. Just... over there, you know.
I don't understand the strategy though behind Well, because Gillespie, or how do you say his last name?
Gillespie. Yeah.
Sorry, Nick. Said in his article, being pro-choice is a non-starter for conservatives. So a watered-down rhino is not going to attract conservatives that are already turned off by a pro-choice candidate.
Right, right. Why are we? So, why is it? Why do we have to compromise on Obamacare, Patriot Act, Iraq War, military interventionism, but? And then we have to sell out our principles on this stuff.
And pandering is what they accuse you of, is far different than supporting.
Oh, bro, so... bro. Just they accuse me of being the Republican plant, which is so hilarious because I was the actual libertarian in the race the whole time. And it's frustrating, obviously, guys. And I'm not trying to be a whiner, but my job is to whine professionally. We're pundits now. We're no longer a candidate. This is my free speech, and I'm exercising it. And like I said this morning... There's a consequence to pay for free speech. I mean, a lot of people are really mad to hear me saying these opinions that are the truth. This is the truth. And, you know, Ron Paul didn't endorse why. I think we know why, but he's not going to say why. So we lack cohesion in the movement. And maybe this creates further division. But what do you have to fear from free speech? Just get some more free speech on the side. And maybe what we can do, hopefully, we can kind of pressure them to... alter their rhetoric a little bit. I mean, one question that they always ask Gary Johnson and a lot of people they say is, what is libertarianism? And he'll say, well, it's fiscal conservatism and social liberalism. No. Yeah, you can be a social liberal and be a libertarian, right? But you don't have to be, right?
Yes. We talked about this yesterday.
Okay.
We said, you know, people, when they hear about libertarianism, they're like, well, what do you believe? Well, frankly, it doesn't really matter what I personally believe. It just matters that I believe that you can believe what you believe, and I can believe what I believe, as long as we don't hurt each other.
Right. And like I said in the C-SPAN debate, I said, you know, libertarianism means being fiscally conservative when it comes to other people's money, and socially, whatever you want, just don't force it on anybody else. And the sort of the rise of bake-the-cake libertarianism, to me, is it's forcing it on someone else. I can't support that, right? So, and since we have free speech, but not free from the consequences of the speech, then we're going to speak out on that, simply because we want to move this country, as well as the Libertarian Party, in a more libertarian direction. I think that's a noble goal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Right, so nuking Hiroshima. Let's talk about that. Laura, you have no opinion on this? She has not done the proper amount of research.
I don't want to speak on an
She's 21
subject.
Years old, guys. Give her a break. She's gonna write for Liberty Viral. So like for me right now, hold on. Let the adults speak, Laura. Hold on. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they're so mad. They're mad about something.
They're mad. I don't know what it is. Hold on. We're pushing Laura out of the screen.
Oh, dude,
just kidding. I'm kidding. Anyway, so let's talk about
Ron's
nuking
here.
Hiroshima. Who's here?
Ron.
Ron who?
Paul.
Ron Paul. Yeah, Ron Paul. All right, so nuking Hiroshima, was it the right move? They asked this question of everybody at the C-SPAN debate. The question was it right to do? I used to be of the ilk that it's like, oh no, it's never right to use the bomb because you could always hurt innocent civilians. But the truth is that if you declare war, and it's a declared war, then it's an understanding that there's going to be perhaps some collateral damage. And quite frankly, we did a lot more damage with our firebombing than we did with a nuclear weapon in terms of actual casualties and catastrophic damage. I think that it's just kind of like drones, where people have a sort of instinctual response to the nuke, especially with fallout, that they're like, oh, this is something that hurts generations in the future. But they seem to have recovered from it fairly well, one. And two, they started it, so don't start none, won't be none, in my estimation. I mean, what did you think was going to happen when Pearl Harbor, you know, got bombed? But also because the Japanese were killing civilians. If you were worried about the killing of civilians, The Japanese were killing an estimated 6,000 people in their forced labor camps in China. They had the Bataan Death March, where they slaughtered American soldiers as they moved them around to their forced labor camps. So if you wanted to save civilian lives, honestly, I think using the nuclear weapon was the right thing to do. And that's not popular with libertarians in many ways, because we tend to be dovish, too dovish, I think. And that's one of the things that gets me in trouble, is because I am not a pacifist. I'm a very strong defense, because I think that, you know, otherwise, what's the point of the porcupine? What does the porcupine have spikes for, Laura?
You told me this one time. To defend itself.
Right. Porcupines have spikes for a reason. So if you... The Imperial Japanese, code keyword Imperial Japanese, had been the aggressors in this. And I've read all the alternative history about, we were, you know, moving our fleets in the Pacific, and it's like, oh, we cut off their oil supplies. Yeah, you know, if you make threats and the Japanese had planned to carve up the Western United States. So when you start taking a map of my country and my state and you start saying, well, we're going to divide up all in this, now that's all I need right there. Put my bus a cap.
You made like 3 hood references today.
I'm feeling hood, yo.
We're in Kansas City,
so I'm feeling ghetto. Listen, guys, so before we close this all up, one thing, we do have to advertise ourselves. We really need your help growing our websites, Liberty Viral and the Libertarian Republic. So in order to help us do that, guys, we need you guys to register as members. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com today. Please register as a member. Give us $5 a month for a subscription, then you get it ad-free. Right now, we're paying for a developer just to fix all the issues that we have with the sites, and that's going to have to get fixed before we can then roll out new layers of the websites with podcast. I mean, we got a lot of stuff coming. Tell us what's in store for Liberty Viral, Laura.
Okay, so Liberty Viral is going to be the libertarian BuzzFeed. You said a word this morning that I liked. Candy?
Candy, like cotton candy.
Like cute, fun, short stories that
are relatable.
More than stories, but just all sorts of media. So, dank memes and live streams.
Dank memes, live streams.
Yes. Yeah. So whatever you think of BuzzFeed or Reddit or things like that, it's going to be that in libertarian nature.
Right.
On Liberty Viral. So.
Right. So what you got to do is help us out with those projects by funding us, and we give you something for it too. So you get the libertarianrepublic.com ad free. We're going to start creating exclusive content just for members. I'm starting up the Freedom Report podcast back this week. My voice, as you can tell, is still kind of gone from the convention talking to everybody. My hand is still rubbed raw from all that gripping and grinning at the convention. But do us a favor, guys, subscribe. And we're going to keep pushing the message, and that's what we're going to do. So right now, we're going to grow the Libertarian Republic. We're going to grow Liberty Viral so that we have a voice, a strong voice. And my goal is to beat Reason Magazine in 1 year. The only way I can do that is with your help, guys. Share stories from the Libertarian Republic. Share stories from Liberty Viral. Get involved. Send us content ideas, or even contact Laura to be a writer. If you want to be a writer, Laura, how do you get in contact with you? What's the best way?
Email me.
Or contact her on Liberty Laura on Facebook. Yeah, that's a good one, right?
Let's do that, Sid. You're right.
Yeah. Message her on Facebook at Liberty Laura, or you can message me at Austin Peterson, where you're at right now. If you guys want to contribute, we really need web developers, people who are skilled in WordPress. We really need people who can develop applications, people who can help us out. I mean, we're really sort of a grassroots operation in many ways. We don't make a lot of money, but we make enough just to cover our operating costs. We need to expand so we can have profit to reinvest back into the institutions. And I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week setting up some new institutions that are nonprofit. But in the short term, we got a lot of work to do. So if you can see yourself helping with that from a technology standpoint, we would be very grateful. If you can't help us with the technology, if you can donate, or not donate, you can purchase now a subscription to thelibertarianrepublic.com. That will help to get us around the country so we can continue our campaign for liberty. Otherwise, we need to change the rhetoric. From a strategic perspective, we need to change the rhetoric. Otherwise, a lot of these conservatives are going to vote for Donald Trump, and we don't want that. We want the highest vote total we've ever seen for the Libertarian Party candidate ticket. We want a good, strong presidential ticket, because that is going to help the down-ballot candidates of two whom I've endorsed, who I encourage you to check out. That is Lily Tang Williams in Colorado, and we're going to get active with her very soon. That's what my institutions will be aimed at doing. And Alex Merced in New York. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that I love Lily.
I love Lily. LilyForLiberty.com is her website, by the way. So we're going to do what we can to help support those two candidates for right now until we expand our roster. But until our for-profit institution is running smoothly, I can't get the nonprofit institution set up, so I need you and your continued support financially and activist-wise so that we can continue to run the campaigns for liberty. So, very simple. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, purchase a small subscription, like our content, share this live stream, encourage others to do so, share ideas with people, get more people involved in the movement, and keep spreading ideas of liberties, because one day we are going to take over the government so we can leave everybody alone, right? Sayonara, kids. Have a good one.